every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, here at Rosie on the House, the Outdoor Living Hour, third Saturday of the month. So we've got Jay Harper in studio, notes for the nursery. And I missed this when we published our 2021 home maintenance calendar. If you're following along, tuning in for winter lawn planting, we're really not going to repeat much of that. We'll touch on it briefly because last week, Talking Trees was in, and their to-do was overseeding lawns. And I thought their topic and their point of that, they like to get in and do their tree trimming before lawns get overseeded so they don't mess it up. And I thought that's what they're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Save a Tree has added overseeding as a service. Oh. So they were talking.
Right.
We had a very technical broadcast last week about overseeding. They brought in Dave Jernigan from the Gardener's Touch. And if you are tuning in for that, I would just direct you to the podcast of last week because it is a hour packed of very technical, by the book, how to overseed lawn. But for anybody that didn't tune in last week and did want to talk winter lawn planting, let's spend 5 minutes touching on it.
And going back to your first statement, that is a good suggestion. If you've got trimming or other kind of major heavy projects that you're wanting to do, that your winter lawn might be between the disposal of that material and where you're going to be taking it off. In other words, foot traffic across that area needs to cease and desist once you put the seed down. So, you know, schedule your projects accordingly. You do have still plenty of time to overseed. So if you've got to do a major construction project or something that warrants you walking across that area a whole bunch, you know, let's get that out of the way first. Or wait till well after the lawn is established before you start putting traffic back on that lawn. So, good point. You know, I think one of the topics that came up in that conversation last week about overseeding was the supply and the cost of the ryegrass seed this year for various reasons, just like everything else it seems like we buy regularly.
Price has gone up.
It's shorter in supply and the price is higher. Now, that being said, for the average lawn, you know, let's say a 2,000 square foot lawn that you need, you know, 25 to 40 pounds of seed to do, you know, if the price doubled, it's still not, you know, I don't think that makes or breaks your decision. You know, so you're still not talking exorbitant dollars, right?
No, a 50-pound sack I bought was like $160.
Yeah, so instead of $95 or $99 or $110 in the last few years, it was so. You know, for an extra $60 or $70 is what it's going to cost you.
And you chalk that up. How many days of lawn are you going to get?
Well, it's your lawn most of the year.
I mean, it comes out to like an extra half a penny a day or something over the course of time.
So the winter lawn, and you want to do a nice winter lawn because it really technically, so from, let's just forget it, October. Is it November, December, January, February, March, April, and maybe into May? It's 7 months. So it's your lawn is your winter lawn half the year, over half the year. So you want to make sure you're doing a nice job. Buy good seed, buy a blend of good perennial ryegrass seed and do the job accordingly. Don't skimp on the seed. Put enough seed down. You know, 10 to 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet is generally the recommended rate. So do a nice job. But let's just say you've got half an acre of lawn. You know, now that price decision might be a little different. That being the case, you know, if you've been kind of on the fence with the winter lawn thing the last few years, maybe this is the year you need to evaluate how much turf you have. You know, we are, you know, fortunately, the Salt River Project lakes, our local lakes are pretty darn good shape, pretty close to full. But I'm sure everybody's
Colorado
read about the
River
Colorado
lakes,
River
not quite.
System and what might be coming forth with water supplies and potential, you know, shortages slash rationing slash management of that water supply. Maybe this is a good year with the price and the availability of rye seed. And that might be the other problem. You may not be able to find it. From what I understand, ryegrass seed is very difficult to find. Those that didn't make commitments to buy it may or may not be able to get it. I don't know. I have some seed reserved. I have a few contacts yet. That being the case, you know, I'm down to under 500 square feet of lawn. You know, my back is now, or my front is artificial turf and more mulch and planting areas. And my back, I shrunk down to way more planting areas. And so I have a very small area that I do, you know, it's easy to maintain, doesn't take a lot of water. So that just might be something to, as a tip, is just like we do this time with the landscape shrubs, great time to evaluate all of your landscape. Hey, that didn't make it through the summer very good. That the last few summers, that particular plant has looked like crud by the time we got through summer. Maybe it's time to reevaluate what that particular plant is in that spot. And this is a great time to plant, more than just winter lawns. It's the best time to plant almost anything.
And when we're talking planting anything and reevaluating and water conservation, you know, it's always overwhelming but very enjoyable to just find a xeriscape garden somewhere, whether you're walking through the desert botanical gardens. There's some nurseries that specialize in arid landscapes that you could schedule a time to walk through, or going through a nursery and finding something that you can replace and convert and not lose any of your plant material, but go to something that's more drought tolerant.
Sure.
Arid adapted, you know, what drought tolerant may not be the right word, but, you know, desert based, native.
Great time to, you know, just drive neighborhoods. You know, if there's, you know, with as much remodeling and construction and new landscaping and, you know, new modern looking landscaping. You got hung up on your way here this morning. So I just drove this. I hadn't driven through this neighborhood in a long time. You know, there's some pretty cool redos that have happened up and down this street. You know, it's what, a 50-year-old neighborhood now, probably?
Yep. 60s.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of neat to see. And, you know, boom, I got some ideas. You know, I'm getting ready to do some stuff. So, you know, it's a great that look at your neighborhood. Go drive the new areas of town, because they're all low water use, arid adapted stuff going in these new subdivisions and master plan communities. Go out and see what they're putting in. See what looks a lot of new plant material out there compared to what you had in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
And you don't lose a lot in color. And, you know, a lot of people think that you lose your green or your colors if you go native. And that's
actually more colorful. Technically, you know, I mean, there's a lot more color than people think. And it's actually, most of it is more colorful than some of the just basic green shrubs that we planted, just kind of, they're green, you know, natal plum and boxwood and junipers and things like that that didn't bloom at all. So it actually is really more colorful. But you need to know how to use it and where to use it and how to space it and, you know, how big stuff gets. So, you know, go around and get some ideas. And there's, you know, there's some great material online. AMWA, the Municipal Water Users Association, has some great online stuff. Nurseries have pamphlets and handouts and can show you the plants. So I think this is a great time to evaluate, redo, look at what's out there, because it's such a great time to plant.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to get outside and do a little yard work now, you know?
Oh, just to have the joy of being outside and working in the soil, even if you're not planting anything, just to be out. It has been such a nice transition.
We have had the most, I think, you know, knock on this table's wood, right? I'm knocking. We've had, you know, the summer was with all the monsoon rain and cloudy days. It was a pretty tolerable summer as summers go. And we, boy, from about the middle of September, we started having some fall cool nights and some cooler days. And golly, it's just we haven't had a fall, traditional fall like this in a long time. Long time. So, we joke about Halloween. You know, Halloween, you might be in shorts, you might be in a jacket, you know. The last few years, it's been kind of in shorts, you know. It's still been hot clear into November. That certainly doesn't look like it's going to be the case. I think Saturday, it's going to be up to maybe 90, and then it looks like it's going to tail back off again. Boy, this is...
It'll do that a few times going into the fall. Always has a cool off, and then a little heat wave come back. But looking at the leafometer, the Flagstaff has changed from yellow to kind of mustard. So we're getting real close to the red Auburn. You can go on and select different areas if you want to look at. Oak Creek Canyon is always a little bit ahead of Flagstaff as it's lower in elevation. And schedule a time. Flagstaff even got dusted with a little snow this week. It is. It is fall time. It is planting time. And even though a lot of those, you know, leaves are and those trees are going deciduous, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later in the break. You know, this is our fall garden time. It's perfect to get our planting beds ready, our seeds in the ground, or pick up a.
This is our spring. Started. Yeah, this is our spring. Really. Yeah.
And on the desert floor, it is springtime. And we're happy you're joining us. It's Rosie on the House with you every Saturday morning. 8 o'clock is our outdoor living hour, and we've got Jay Harper in studio with us this Saturday morning.